This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome to a Super Bloom podcast. It's me, Candace King, and holy moly guacamole. I am so pumped for today's guest, and I would read you her entire bio. However, I'm not really in a position to be able to do that because she's an actress. I'm an actress. We would talk about all these actress things. She worked on something I watched on the television when I was in my formative years. I feel like I worked on something that has appeared on a television that other people could have potentially participated in with their eyeballs and watched for a certain amount of years. And yet we can't talk about any of it. We can't, because we are on strike. We are on strike, so we are unable to speak to any of those things that might have been in the box that hangs on your wall or sits in your corner, otherwise known as a television. That's how we used to watch it when we were kids. But I don't know. All you guys watch things maybe on phones or computers, but I digress. I'm just going to jump right to it, because today we're actually going to talk about our other things that we love. We're going to talk about love of our families and cooking and you know, young adulthood into adulthood and, you know, being just women of the world. But more importantly, we're going to talk about my personal passion. We're going to open with the phenomenon that is the three-name of the 90s and the early aughts. I always wanted one, and we got one on the show. We got Tiffany Amber Thiessen today. And I know that I'm supposed to be calling her Tiffany Thiessen, but my soul really needed to at least say Tiffany Amber Thiessen at least once. Just for young Candace, you know, I needed to be able to say that. I am so excited. Tiffany Thiessen, if you don't know who she is, give her a Google. I am not at liberty to read out her entire bio right now, but what we can talk about is Tiffany Thiessen's new cookbook, Here We Go Again. You can pre-order it now. It comes out on September 26th. But go on, you can pre-order it right now. You can also check out Tiffany's books, Pull Up a Chair, another cookbook of hers. She also has a children's book called You're Missing It. And we have so much to talk about. and we talk circles around the things we cannot talk about, but you know what? We're going to talk about it. So let's talk it out. Here we go again with Tiffany Thiessen. 2 months since I've moved, but I swear it's been like 20 years.
No, like it's, moving is, they say, like moving, what did they say? Death in the family, moving, and marriage and divorce are the hardest things ever. And a birth of a child, I'll say. I'll put that in there too.
I did not give birth and no one died, but I did get divorced and moved. So okay, I'm like, there
you
we go.
You had two huge ones, yes.
There we go. Two of the four, two out of four ain't bad.
Oh my God.
So that's why I'm just like hiding in front of a bunch of flowers in my closet.
To
just.
Well, it does well for you. It does very well
Thank
for you.
Thank you. And I love that, like, here you are, I know, promoting your book, which is very excited. I'm excited to talk about like food and all the things and your cookbook. But also, what a time when we're on strike. So we like all the fun things that we would be able to talk about of maybe our past experiences as two actors. We can't talk about any of it.
Can't
talk about it.
Nope.
And I don't mind when people can't talk to me about it, because I'm like, oh, well, I guess I don't have to answer the same gosh darn questions that I've answered for all these
years. I'm so used to answering those questions. And it's really kind of now been more of a way to be better about coming up with better answers, maybe, and be more entertaining with the same questions that I've gotten for, you know, almost 40 years. That's kind of how I've always looked at it, at least for a little while, at least. But yeah, you're right. We can, which is,
I know.
We're in another interesting time in our world, right?
Yeah, I know. I've gotten the same questions for like 14, maybe 15 years. So I can't even imagine 40 years, because I have the same answers. Like, it's very rare that I get stumped, or that I like switch up the answer at this point.
Yeah, I don't get stumped anymore, because I definitely had a lot of practice. I think it's more trying to entertain myself, maybe, with the same questions and giving answers that might be a little bit different. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure you've already answered this, but I have to know, because part of the thing of being like a 90s baby was that I was born in the 80s, but like my pop culture senses are all from the 90s.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, all I wanted was the triple name. You know, this was like at the height of triple name, of like Melissa Joan Hart, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Rachel Lee Cook, like all the like, you know, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I was like, gosh, darn it, these triple
Isn't that
names.
Funny. I know the triple names.
It was such a thing.
Yeah.
When and why and what was the emotional process of dropping the Amber? Because all I'm seeing is Tiffany Thiessen. And I'm like,
well, here's the funny thing. I never dropped it. It's literally my middle name.
Okay.
It just never technically was hyphenated, right? So they hyphenated it when I got into the business. And I don't know really why, because I was very young, but some probably agent or manager or somebody said, we should hyphenate it, which was funny, because then later on one of those popular shows that I started on, one of my co-stars also had a hyphenated name, but his is really hyphenated and he goes by both names.
Mark Paul Gosselaar?
Correct. Yes.
I know my triple name trivia.
You do.
Tiffany.
So Mark Paul is literally Mark Paul. His name is not Mark. It's not Paul. It's Mark Paul. And a lot of people still don't understand that. My name is not Tiffany Amber. My middle name is Amber. My first name is Tiffany. But someone thought I should hyphenate it. And it was hyphenated before I even got that show. That's what's so funny.
That's so funny.
It may have been hyphenated even when I was doing those crazy beauty pageants when I was little. I don't even remember exactly. But I will tell you, the moment I dropped it, and again, it's not like I dropped it. It's still my middle name. It's still on my driver's license.
Okay. I can breathe easy at night.
It just is not hyphenated, because it legally never was. But that we dropped it from, say, my professional name of going, is when I was trying to kind of move away from that show and trying to grow myself up a little bit and be more of a young adult actor. And so that next job is when, you know, I didn't have it anymore. But again, it's still on my driver's license, I promise.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Inquiring minds wanted to know. But I do think it is interesting, because we won't get into like the years that you are obviously in pop culture iconic. Like, you're the young, there is like an image of you younger that even if these like young teenagers might not like know who you are, where it's from, they've definitely bought a t-shirt with your face on it at like Urban Outfitters. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even imagine.
It is definitely weird, because I remember I was shooting another show in New York, And I remember I got a call from my publicist saying that Justin Bieber was wearing an old t-shirt of mine. And I was like, does he know who I am? Because again, it, you know, different time frame, right?
Yes.
And it was super, super funny. But yes, and it's still happening, right? And yeah, it's now vintage, right? Is my t-shirt vintage?
It could be.
I mean, I'm going to be 50, so it could be vintage now. I don't know.
It makes me nauseous. It is also crazy to think back of, like, you know, when we were younger, what, like, in what society deemed as like what a 50-year-old looked like, or a 40-year-old or a 60-year-old. And now we've got freaking Martha Stewart, just like, you know, we got J-Lo celebrating her 54th birthday, just dancing on tables in like a little white dress.
It's not okay. It's not fair.
I know.
Come on.
I know, we're like turning over the new leaf for what it means to be to just aging, I think.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, being that I'm going to be 50, I actually feel more settled in turning 50 than I did turning 40. And I don't know why.
Interesting.
I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's maybe my hormones have come down, or maybe they're actually going the other way. But for whatever reason, I'm actually feeling much more settled and not as nervous about turning 50 than I was when I was turning 40. Isn't that crazy?
It is interesting. It is. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I have friends who have turned 50 in the last year. And yeah, it does feel like, mm-hmm, like a much more settled.
I think so. Maybe because my kids are starting to get older and I'm a little more settled and I'm not in like baby mode. And I don't know. I don't know what the reason is, but I'll take it. I don't care. I feel much better.
There is a very weird like harshness to going from your 30s to your 40s. I think,
yes,
like that does feel more drastic and dramatic.
I agree.
But I do want to talk about before, like when you were young. So before you even were working on TV or film, and you kind of touched on it for a second, you were doing beauty pageants, mm-hmm, you were doing, which also led to like a model scout, like you were on the cover of Teen Magazine, you were CoverGirl's Model of the Year. How old were you when all of this is happening? Because you were living like a parallel universe in which that was also my dream as a child, where you're just walking around and someone's like, You, I'm plucking you from obscurity.
Yeah, I don't know if it was so much that, but no, I mean, I definitely think I was, you know, trying to get into the business. I was wanting to do commercials and modeling and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, my parents are not of the business. They didn't know anything. And I had a little bit of an in to the business with my uncle. He was actually sort of an actor way back in the day out of college for a slight second, but then was writing and doing all that. So he kind of knew some agents, but again, not in the same field at all. So I think it was like my parents' way of trying to figure out that Hollywood business. And they were like, oh, maybe a beauty pageant would work. And then maybe a model search would work for a magazine. Like it was just kind of like throwing stuff to the wall to see if I would like it. Mm-hmm. And two, if it would do anything. And apparently, I guess it did something, but because I am still in this business, this crazy business. But going back to that whole thing, like what I loved about how my parents were with it all is that they always said to me, and we would have like almost like a meeting about it almost once a month, the moment the fun is not there anymore, this does not have to happen. And school comes first. Like I always was really good about making sure that my grades were good. I kept up on my schoolwork because it did take a lot of extra time. You know, I wasn't doing sports like a lot of kids do. I was doing this on my extra time, you know.
How old are your kids now? Is it?
I just
8 and 13. I know.
Yes, I have two that just turned 8 and 13. I have a teenager and an 8-year-old, and it's crazy.
Is your 13-year-old a boy, girl, or how do they?
She's a girl. She's a girl. And so we're right in the thick of all of that, you know, stuff that you probably remember like I do as a teenager, you know?
Yes. I've also watched my teenage stepdaughters they're not teens anymore. Not only one of them is still my previous marriage, but 20 and 18.
Wow.
And so, Oh yeah. So that's been like the wild trip I think the ultimate lesson in parenting is that you think you're going to teach the children everything, but really they're just kind of teaching you. And you almost have this bizarre reflection on, like, I just remember watching them experience like very normal, what's the word? Like things that you go through no matter what when you're a teenager, everyone does. It breaks generations. Like it's just normal human feelings, like cornerstones of your youth. and just immediately flashing back to like my own age at that time. And so how old were you when you were doing these beauty pageants? How old were you when you were modeling? And
I started as young as 8 or 9, like little bit. And then it got a little more serious as I became more of a teenager. And then, you know, my first big break was that popular show mm-hmm. that I had mm-hmm. on Saturday morning and then primetime. I had just turned 15.
Wow.
So, you know, still there, wasn't even driving yet. And so my mom had the commitment of taking me to work every day, you know, and our work days were longer because we were doing school at the same time. So we would do school mm-hmm. in the morning for a few hours and then work for a little bit. And then sometimes we'd have to catch up and do a little bit more school after. So it was a long day for a 15-year-old kid, you know?
Well, I also think that what we say now as parents and like as a society is like, can't imagine what it's like to be a kid these days, because everything, their entire like young adulthood is just on screen and they're all filming it and we're all posting it and we're documenting it and they're documenting it for everyone to see. But you kind of got that experience as a young kid. And these are also these very vulnerable times as young women. So like were you aware of your, I know this might sound crazy. I mean, obviously I think as a society, anyone who was like watching you at that time was obviously very aware of your looks. Like there is a reason why you were on Justin Bieber's t-shirt all these decades later. Were you aware at that time of your looks? Did you feel pressure? I mean, you were in modeling, you had a lot of attention on you at a time that can be very vulnerable as a young woman, especially at a time where not everyone was paying attention to maybe some of the like not good people in the industry.
Yep. Yep. Totally. I mean, yes, you know, luckily I would say I had a very good experience overall, right? There were moments, there were times, but as an overall experience, I feel I was very fortunate and lucky, because I know it doesn't always go that way. And I think it has to do with, you know, the people that I got to work with, the people I didn't get to work with, which were not a bad thing sometimes, my home life, my parents, all of that. I think it all kind of plays into that, you know, more positive sort of outlook on that period of time. But again, I had moments. And as I got older, I didn't feel it right away at the beginning, because I think it was all so new and the attention was so new and it was so much to take in at once that it was hard to pinpoint the things that I probably should have seen at the beginning. But it wasn't until later I felt that it was harder and the pressure was harder when I was going from like 17 to 18. And that was when really my body was changing more. I think I had hit that initial puberty already when I got on TV, you know, initially. But I went through bigger changes coming from like a teen to a woman, almost more like mm-hmm. 17, 18, 19. And those moments I felt were much harder for me as more, if you look at it more in the body image of it, that was harder. And I think that's where I felt the most pressure, looking at my co-stars or looking at other people on TV shows or people saying things like, you know, we didn't have social media, but we did have magazines and Teen Bopper and all these kind of magazines that were popular. But then you would have these websites that people would like write in and talk about, you know? And I remember pretty much in the beginning where, you know, every now and then we'd get together and kind of look at some of the comments. And then it became where like, yes, there were lovely comments and most of them were lovely comments, but there were some that weren't so lovely and how much it affected a lot of us. And my mom was the one who said, you don't need to look at that. You know what you're doing. You know who you are. Most people love the show. They, you know, like you don't need to waste your energy really and looking at that kind of stuff. And I still have that same philosophy today with social media.
I agree.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm fine with what anyone ever says about me. I think I take it harder if it's like about something else, or, you know, I have to like step away when politics, I think, gets into play. If I'm like, or talking about like a friend or something like that.
Or your kid or, you know, whatever. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. But anything for me, I'm just like, oh, whatever. It's probably like, you know, a bot anyway. You know, it's like watching The Real Housewives really put it into perspective, where it's like so-and-so bought 1,000 bots to write negative things. And I was like, oh, that's what it is. Obviously.
It's so true. And also just, I also, this is the one thing I teach about my children. It was really cute. I'll brag about my son the other day. He started a baseball camp, a new one that he had never done before. And Monday he got home and I was like, how was it? And he goes, Mom, there was kind of an older kid that wasn't very nice. And I go, really? What happened? He goes, well, he was kind of a bully. And I said, well, that's not nice. I said, we'll talk to the coaches tomorrow. And so we had a big, long discussion and we talked to him about, you know, making sure that you stand up for yourself and talk about it, you know, and not feel like you just have to go to the coaches, but really say something, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said the next day when I said, how are you feeling? You know, if this kid is still kind of mean to you, you know what to do. And you also can go to the coach for some support. And he goes, you know, Mom, I thought about it. He might be fine today. Maybe he just had a bad day. Oh. And I literally was like, yeah. Oh, my gosh. He literally took something that we've been saying to him in a different way so long ago, and it really sunk in. And I was like, yes, I was so proud of him. And I was like, you're right, dude. I go, you're absolutely right. And you should give him another chance. I said, but on the other side of it, if it's not, then you know what to do. I just want you to have, you know, the right tools. And he goes, yes, I do. Yeah. And I was so proud of him. Was so cute.
Oh my goodness. That is a really cool part of parenting. My daughter's version of that, she's 7. Basically, if I hit my point of being overwhelmed, she's just like, take a deep breath. It's okay. And it's like this weird little like thing that like I know that I say to, but as soon as where I'm like, whoa, who is like this mini Yoda back here that I've been programming to just calm me out of my spirals? I'm like,
it's a version of you.
Happening?
And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I know. But the juxtaposition of like spiraling out and being like, Mommy needs another coffee, or I need to go and have 5-minute timeout. Space. I call it space and grace. Mommy needs some space and then I need some grace. Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. I might have to take that one.
Use it, all the things.
That's a good one. I love it.
Well, obviously we're here also to talk about your cookbook. This is your second cookbook. Have you always cooked? Was this something that you also liked to do when you were younger? So it's always been.
Yes. I think, you know, my love of cooking and food came from family. I used to be that little girl who would peer around the kitchen wall to watch my mother and my aunt and my grandmother all cooking together, whether it was a dinner for the week or, you know, a holiday or a birthday or something. And they just always were having fun. And I just wanted to be with them and doing what they were doing. And so that's kind of the start of the love affair with food and cooking. And then as I got older, it was really kind of my traveling through, you know, going to other countries and doing all that and doing promotion for the TV shows that I was on and learning about different cultures and different food. And all of that just kind of broadened my love for it. And then as I became a young adult, it was really about dinner parties and wanting to, like, you know, entertain my friends or, you know, find a boyfriend or, I know, you know what,
like,
I mean?
What was your, like, go-to thing that you would, like, do, like, cook to impress a dude? And then also, which dude cooked, and it doesn't have to be which dude, but, like, what is a meal that a dude made for you where you're like, all right.
You know, I've never had a dude make me a meal.
Stop. Really?
Never. No. Isn't that funny?
That is funny. That is
interesting.
And I
know there's so many men that love to cook, but they never cross my path. And maybe it's because, like, maybe it's because they knew I cooked. I don't know. Maybe it was this thing that they were like, oh, I'm going to let her do it. This is what she loves to do. So I'm not going to say that positively that no one did, but
yeah,
it never happened to me.
That's so funny. I feel like there's usually, like, any guy that I would date, it, like, there would always be just one thing. It's not that they cooked. They were by no means a chef, but they'd have, like, one dish that they would make. And I knew it was just to, like, get in everyone's pants. Yeah.
I'd have to go back, but I did marry someone who does great dishes. So it kind of works.
It's got
to
be one or the other. Got to be one or the other. When we're talking marriage, but when we're talking just maybe spending some quality grown-up physical time as two adult humans that want to eat food and maybe do other things together, what would be your food that you would make to do other things together?
Well, it's hard because I feel like food is a personal thing, right? And so I've dated vegans. I've dated guys that, you know, like, didn't love Mexican food or whatever. So I think it's very...
Deal breakers.
Completely agree, by the way. And I married a Texan who loves Mexican food. So, of course, we do have arguments between California Mexican food and Tex-Mex.
Respect.
But that's okay. It's a whole nother story. But yeah, I think it was always a personal thing. So it's hard to say that I would have one thing that I would always cook. Enchiladas were definitely one that was always on the table, a definite fave that I've had for a long time because my mother used to make them all the time. But it's hard to say exactly, like, that one dish, because I always was, and I feel like I'm still like this, and I do this with my family or even with my friends. I love to know what they love. Like, when I have a dinner party or I throw even, like, a small school charity event, I always ask the guests what they don't love, what they can't stand, what they're allergic to. And I, you know, kind of come up with a menu that works for all those people. And I would say the same thing even when I was dating or, you know, even with our kids now, I want feedback. I'm gonna be like, hey, do you want to do taco night this week? Let's figure out what kind of tacos you want to do. Or do you want to do a pizza night? Let's have fun and do pizzas this week. And, you know, I want feedback to know, because I want them to enjoy it too. I don't want to force feed anybody things that they don't love, you know?
Oh, you're very nice. I force feed them. I'm like, no, this is what I do. Wait, and I was, like, in my late teens, I would make lemon bars for casting agents or any executives. If, like, I got a job or, like, didn't, or, like, casting directors, I'd, like, go in with lemon bars.
That's smart.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then for, like, dudes, it was always spinach and artichoke dip.
Oh,
not a
so
sexy
funny.
Dish, but
no, but it's,
like,
good.
But it's good.
But it's so good.
It was always a tie between maybe, like, a key lime pie. If it's, like, a group setting, and I'm trying to impress him, I'd bring, like, a pie.
I should have known this better. Maybe I would have had better jobs. Oh my gosh.
Like, can you tell I do? I'm like, ooh, if I do this, then you'll like me. Like, like, I needed, like, a bonus. You know what I mean?
But
yes.
Hey, you know, food is, like, I've always said, to me, people are like, well, why are you so into food? And to me, it's a lot like music for people, right? Or music does this to me too. It evokes beautiful emotions and connections between people. I've always said that, you know? And so that's why I've always loved cooking and food.
Yeah.
Still do. I will never not.
I know. I love it. It's funny. When I was a kid, I was like, I will never be like my mom in the kitchen, because my mom cooked all the time. She's all these, like, she has all, like, her things that she loves to do. She has her own way of doing it. But it was not like a kitchen where she's like, come in, let's roll out this dough for chicken and dumplings together. She'd be like, get out of the kitchen. This is my territory, and I'll invite you back in when I'm ready. And there's just, like, you can throw a little salt in there or something. Like, it is very much like she runs the ship. I was the sous chef, but before I could even become the sous chef, I was, like, down in the engineer room, like, trying to figure something out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was probably a peaceful place for her. It was her place. So, like,
yes.
How some men can say they have the man cave, or, you know, sometimes I laugh and think my husband's bathroom is where he likes to go.
It is cave-like.
You know,
yes they are in a squatted traditional position.
The kitchen
position.
Is a lot of places, and that's men or women. If you love to cook, it's kind of that sort of spa-like place, right? Where you get to be creative and it's relaxing for a lot of people. It's not relaxing, but for me, it very much is. And I love it. Yeah.
I like it if everyone just leaves me alone.
Yeah.
Like that's where I like it. Like I don't ever need a meditation room, but I can just have like an empty kitchen and all day to just like read cookbooks and make whatever I want.
Put me in a pantry and I'll organize and I'll be happy.
Thrilled. Yes.
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 I'm like, that's perfect for me too. I don't even have to cook.
I'm just about to. I moved into a house. It's almost 100 years old. I'm learning.
Oh, my house is 100 years old this year.
How did it go moving in? Was it delightful? Do you remember? Was it traumatic?
Yeah, we moved in 20 years ago and it was a lot.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Old homes. Here's the thing. Old homes have lots of character and I would never take that away. Like I love old homes. I love what they bring, the energy of it, you know, all of it. But you're going to find issues. I mean, that is a constant. And I can tell you, I've been in this house for 20 years and we still have issues.
Okay, cool.
But it's kind of the charm of it. You just have to look at it's like the glass is half full, right, sweetheart?
Uh-huh.
You know, like you just gotta take it.
It might be chipped and letting air out of it, but the glass could still be. Yes.
I know these doors and windows are so old. And my husband's like, can't we just replace them? I go, no, we cannot.
I know.
We cannot.
I know, that's how I am. But I am going to gut the kitchen.
Do the kitchen. Yeah.
Okay. And that's what I'm doing. But even like sitting down, going over plans yesterday, they were like, so do you want the stove? Like, do you want the oven top? Do you want it like the stove top in the island so then you can face everyone? I was like, no, I want it tucked away when I am there.
I want my back to everybody and I want everybody to leave
no
me alone.
No one talk to me. Leave me alone. But then I want to cook everything and then bring it out and show everyone and then be like, oh, it's not that good. And then everyone be like, no, it's so good.
Amazing.
And I'm like, great.
You did so great. Oh my gosh. It worked so hard. I love it. Oh, well, congratulations on the new place.
Thank you.
That's exciting.
Thank you. You know, it's all in a day. It's like, I keep saying it's like the arcade game where like you hit a gopher and then like the other ones just keep popping up.
The gophers are still coming up.
Oh, man, I love it. I also love that you mentioned that you cook while you travel because I'm a very big, I've been a very big traveler. I'm also a solo traveler. I love to travel alone. And a lot of the things I usually end up doing, I love booking a cooking class.
Ooh, fun,
I love it
yeah.
so much. And so your experience, what is one of your favorite cities where you've gone and taken a cooking class or learned something about the cuisine there or anything that
you
sticks
know,
out.
I will say I lived in New York, you know, like 6 months on, 6 months off when I was shooting a show there. And I remember my first year there, I was newly pregnant with my daughter, so I didn't have kids yet. And my husband wasn't living with me. I was actually out there by myself. I remember taking a couple cooking classes in New York because I was in one of my favorite cities and I was by myself and I had the extra time to do that. And it was super, super fun because it's not normally something I do. I just have always cooked, but it's on my bucket list to do some of these sort of trips in Europe. And I just haven't done them yet, but it's on my bucket list. I mean, there's quite a few places I would love, love to go to and do some pretty extraordinary cooking classes with some pretty extraordinary people just to do it. So you're ahead of me. I will
oh man,
say,
it's worth it. I love it. I literally booked a trip on cookingvacations.com. Like it was that.
I didn't even know
that
was
the actual
really?
Website. I don't know if it's still up anymore because this
is
back in like book. And this is back in like 2013, I want to say. I was overseas doing conventions for the show that I was working on at the time. And I had this kind of gap in between conventions. So I just like stayed and went down to the Amalfi Coast and like signed up for this like little cheesy tour group where all you do is like go to somewhere else and go cooking every day with this like group. And we just so happened to be a group of women. And one was a teacher who does this for herself every summer. Another, there were like two were sisters. One was a cousin who were celebrating their 30th birthday. One was a stay-at-home mom that had never been out of the country and who just like snapped at her husband one day and was like, I'm leaving. I'm going to Italy. And she had never been on a plane out of the country. And here she was just sipping a Aperol spritz on the in the coast and Positano being like, y'all ladies are just so nice. And it was just so delightful.
That's so cool.
I was talking about this. I talked with Rachel Lee Cook a while back, and we've known each other for years now. And she's also someone who's obviously been in the business for a super long time and traveled, done all these incredible things. But we were talking about, she was just saying it's really hard, been hard for her to make that time on her own, to do like a solo travel trip, to kind of feed her soul in that way. Have you been able to do that successfully?
No, I definitely feel that. I don't know if that's just the thing called mom guilt that we're all, I guess we all get the moment we birth a child. I don't know. Or if it's really just not being able to think that that's a priority that's above other things. But I do it with my husband and I. Like, I've made that a priority for the two of us. And we just went away for our anniversary last month. It was delightful. And it was so needed. And we hadn't done it in years. And it did make me think, like, I do girl trips, you know, like girlfriend trips. But I've never done one where I'm just like on my own. And I don't know, maybe that's a 50th thing I got to do. I'm going to be 50. I mean, so I don't know. You're starting to, you know, again, let me get on here. I don't know. That sounds pretty intriguing because there are so many places that I still, you know, I'm very fortunate to say that I've been to a lot of places in my life, you know, for the past 49 years, but there's so many more that I still want to go. And there's some that I do want to go on my own. There's some that I want to take my kids now back to that I, you know, I remember traveling at that teenage years that were so influential to me that I want my kids to experience as well. Mm-hmm. And stuff I want to do with my husband and then all of us. And so, but yeah, I think I need to move that as a priority, probably a little bit higher than I currently am placing it. Yes.
It is interesting that because you're just, it's just so quiet. Like no one needs you and no one can need you because you can't even be there. And I feel like that is the one part of motherhood that's really, really, really been hard for me to let go of.
Me too.
Is that also trusting, and not because a partner would not be able, like knowing your partner well enough that they got it.
Yeah.
They got it. You know what I mean?
Or they'll figure it out.
Or they'll figure it out. It's just like,
or they'll figure it out. That's the thing I always say to myself.
Yeah, yes.
It's like, I know it's like, it's more of, cause I do this. I'm such a type A and I'm a prepper and all that. And I'll lay out all the clothes for the week if I leave and I'm having to work or a list and here's the food and all that. And there's never been a time where I'm just like, I'm just going to let them figure it out. Right?
Yeah.
But you're right. They would. And they do. Yes, you're absolutely, they do. They absolutely do. Yeah, I know.
It is when all of that, when you allow yourself, because you, I feel like we're the ones who turn up that volume. No one else is turning up that volume.
Yeah, my husband's not telling me to do
exactly.
it.
No, exactly. So when we allow ourselves to kind of like turn it down, I feel like then you get to really hone in on like your, like what you need. And it kind of just fast tracks you so that you're able to really be full of your own oxygen tank and your own gas tank when you get back to them. And it's been really interesting. I've talked about it on this podcast before for anyone who does listen, who's listening again, but I went to even just Scotland for a week by myself and road tripped and did all these activities. And it's just all those little in-between moments and strangers that you meet. But it's very interesting when you tune into just like the direct world around you.
And the people you probably meet when you're on your own.
Yes.
How different it probably is to people you meet when you travel with your family or whatever, right?
Yes.
Or even just girlfriends,
yes.
right?
Yes, yeah. 100%, 100%.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Or even, I mean, what's funny is, of course, like, look, it was me, I was separated, going through a divorce. All of my friends, they're like, oh my gosh, you're living a rom-com. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm really not, because I'm not going searching for any relationship with anybody other than the one with myself. And when you're in that position, it's really interesting the people that you all of a sudden pay attention to and pay attention to you and who are just like these wonderful little storytellers along the way. But I also believe that like food is such a part of that. I mean, when I was there, oh gosh, of course, I'm going to blank on the name of it, but there's this like weird, it's like this mealy meat. It's called like Crag in Scotland. I forget what it's called, but it's like their famous meat. Melissa, if you're listening, maybe you can Google it because my brain is so tired. But even just being there and I'm like, I decided to go. I fly fishing. I love an activity. So then I meet my fly fishing guide, Wes, is like, he laughed at my outfit and he took me and he was like, do you mind wearing my wife's clothes? She also fly fishes. I was like, great. So now I'm in Wes and his wife's living room at 7 a.m. and she's just dressing me up. And then she's like, you should come to the cafe later because you have to try this food at my daughter's restaurant. And then you find yourself at this cafe talking life and talking blended families and all the things and it's all and like all over this one dish that is like so important to Scotland. And it's like the food that just brings us all together and that represents community and countries. What is something that, what is like your favorite food to cook for yourself? Like, what is your, I forget the internet's calling it something, but it's like lazy girl meals or something, girl dinner. What is your girl dinner? And then what is your family dinner?
If I were to choose what my girl dinner would be, it would be a cheese charcuterie board.
Always.
Hands down.
What are your choices?
I don't need anything crazy. I just want really lovely cheeses, from lovely soft cheeses to hard cheeses to nutty cheeses to briny cheeses to, you know, stinky cheeses. I want it all.
Oh, okay.
And I want it with fruit, and I want it with meat, and I want it with like everything. Like, that to me is my favorite meal. Which is crazy to me because I love to cook, and that doesn't do anything but slicing, right? But it is my favorite because I like the combinations of textures and tastes and all of that. And it all pairs beautifully with wine, which I love. So that would be my favorite for sure. My favorite to cook has always been, and I know it's probably cliche, but I love Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. And the reason why is because it's one of those things where it really, the food is the star of the holiday, especially Thanksgiving, right? It is the one time that I do allow other people to come in and cook with me because there is so much to do. And so it's usually my mom or my aunt. And, you know, when my grandmother was still living, it was her as well. And then my daughter. And it became like a very sort of, you know, chaotic, of course, but that's holidays, right? But a really fun way to create together, to be together. And it kind of is nostalgic for me because it puts me back into my own childhood and remembering, you know, sort of those feelings and wanting to be in the kitchen with all the women in the family. So
what's the drama dish? Favorite. I feel like there's always one dramatic dish, whether
stuffing.
It's like
stuffing or dressing, whatever you want to call it, because everybody calls it something different, right? Stuffing, dressing, whatever. It's the same thing. I am a non-celery in my stuffing.
Wow.
I do not like celery in a lot of things. And I definitely don't like it in my stuffing. What I do like, which is a kind of a good sort of substitute, and I think is 10 times better, is fennel.
And I
will not let anybody tell me that that's not correct. So every now and then, and it's not every year because they know where I stand, but now and then, I'll get somebody, whether it was like, I think my grandmother the last year she was still with us, I don't understand why we don't have celery. And, you know, I'm like, you probably don't remember, but this is the thing, you know, or it's, you know, somebody else going, you know, or my husband who likes, has no problem with celery. He's like, why don't we do, you know, something like that. And I'm like,
it's not a second one with celery.
No, not allowed. Candace, not allowed. Not allowed. And the stuffing is amazing. It's in my first cookbook. People love it. It's not, but it's just funny how it's like somebody doing cranberry juice, cranberry sauce, right? Like my husband grew up on canned. I despise
I need to make it on that. Yeah, no, I can't. I have to make it.
I can't do it, right?
And it's so easy.
Some people have such a nostalgic attachment to that canned cranberry sauce, right? My husband kind of being one. He's over it now. We've been married for, you know, so many years.
You're like, I changed him. I converted him.
but some people really do have, and I think that's celery and stuffing. Yes.
All right. I mean, I am pro celery. I feel like the drama is usually around it's fine.
I don't dispute if that's the way you love it. I just want everybody to respect the way I like it in my household.
But I am with you on cranberry, and I'm always the only freaking person who eats any of the cranberry sauce. But
yeah.
God, I love it. With
it's so
orange
good
zest
and leftover for sandwiches. Come on, people.
It congeals a little bit. You put it on a turkey sandwich. It's so good.
I know. It's so good.
It's always the mashed potatoes. It's always like my mom, I'll hear it 1,000 times. It's like burned in my brain. It's like, warm the milk before you put them in the potatoes or they're going to get too sticky. Don't do it. And then anytime someone doesn't do it, she takes a bite and she's like, well, they ruined the potatoes. And then now we...
I think I like your mom.
Yeah, no, she has a way. She is the person who everyone could be freaking out and be like, know exactly what to do to kind of solve the situation. She's like a solution person when it comes to the kitchen and cooking. Yes. So that's why I usually,
like,
yeah, yeah, that's where I am grateful. I do that in other areas of my life where in the kitchen, I'm just constantly like panicking unless I'm alone, unless I get to just be alone. Yes. Yes. Like solo travel, solo cooking, you know? Yeah. You know, those are,
I think you need to write a book about the solo stuff. I'm kind of, yeah. I'm very intrigued by it. I need to do this more. Yeah.
Table for one.
Yeah.
Solo play. I don't know. Work in progress.
They all work. I will put the forward for you. I'm totally on board with this. I like this.
Perfect.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I found it so interesting to be raising kids in this sphere. I mean, you have your kids also a part of your cookbooks as well, you know, and within your family. How do they feel about it? Do they love, like, obviously they eat your food and enjoy it. My 7-year-old, now that she like gets it, she like gets why like maybe some people talk to mommy more often. She's like been on a set. She got to like be on like for a second. And so now she has like a whole new, she's like, oh, this is cool. This is great. She's like, this is fantastic. She's like, why aren't people recognizing me? I don't understand. Like, she's in that mode right now.
That age is very much, because I have a son who's 8, and it's very much of that age. Then it turns again. And I'm just going to warn you. Because, well, you'll see.
No, my stepdaughters did not like it. They were like, it's weird.
And it becomes, which is kind of where I am now with my daughter, where everything has to go through her if I am allowed to post something or like a job if they want, you know, maybe my kids in the job or something, whether it's food related or something, it all has to be a discussion with her where my son's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Or likes it and hams it and, you know, hams it in front of the camera like crazy. She's great. It just has to be on her terms. And that's where I know, again, I go back to my own self at 13 and she's trying to own her own sort of self, you know, and really kind of make her own sort of decisions and mark and all that, and knowing that she needs to be comfortable and all that. So, and that very much was this time around with the cookbook. There's really something very funny because I haven't posted it yet, but I shot like the first time I got my cookbook, you know, and you know how people do the reveal or whatever.
Yeah.
And the first time I did it, you know, my kids were little, my son was like little. I think he had just woken up from a nap, so he doesn't even say anything through the video. My daughter's excited, my husband and all that. Well, this time around, very different, Candace. I mean, between my son farting and burping and my husband trying to be as goofy as possible on camera, and then my daughter finding a picture inside going, I didn't approve that picture. I was like, oh my God, what am I? You know what? I should have opened this book by myself.
Yeah.
Didn't need any of you.
See, solo. Come over to the solo side.
Yes. Yes.
That's hilarious.
So funny. I know.
I also, there was something I read. I don't if it was an interview, just kind of like prepping what you've been up to. But you said that you get a lot of like, you look like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I get all
the time.
The time.
Yeah.
And it always just makes me laugh because I never know what to say. I always get the like even at lunch with my 7-year-old yesterday, someone came up and was like, oh my gosh, you know, you look like this girl. And I was like, oh yeah. Yep. Thank you. Yep.
Yeah. And I get that a lot. I get that more often when I'm not in LA. I get it more often, like when I'm traveling and I'm outside of like Los Angeles or New York. And I think it's because they're just like, there's no way, right? They just think like, oh, or I get a lot like, did we go to school together?
A lot of did we go to school together. And the one time that I said the one time I was like, oh no, actually I worked on da 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 da. They were like, I don't know what that is. You didn't go. And I just was like, oh God, I'll never make that mistake
again.
Put in mouth
and walk away.
I was like, this is my worst nightmare. I'm leaving now. But yes, but when you're out and about, that's what you kind of, did you go to school together?
Yeah. Yeah. That's usually how it is. But it's funny. I also make a funny analogy of like the time periods of the different shows that I've been on that have been popular. And, you know, the last one that I was on, I was, you know, played a mother. And so that age group is more my daughter's age. And so it was always like the brownie troops that were coming up to me. And my daughter was like, oh my gosh, this is so annoying, you know, because she was like, of course, you know, where she didn't have to deal with her age group as much because it's now people my age who used to watch the show that I was on years and years and years ago. So it's kind of funny.
It's interesting. In this conversation, we've touched on like certain things that are very big that could be so easy to be wrapped up in basically a sense of identity. Mm-hmm. You know, you think back on your younger years, how could that not be such a part of your identity, the level of recognition and fame you were achieving at that time? Talking about motherhood and, you know, you're being there for your kids. And even I'm a type A personality too. It's very easy for me to make that my entire identity. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, you're about to turn 50. And the thing that I hear more often than not from especially women in their like late 40s, mid 50s, in that kind of like range is just how like they are now have a sense of their own identity that is so much stronger and they're mm-hmm. so at peace with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you been able to kind of listen to your own identity throughout your achievements and throughout the years, personal and professional, or has that been kind of a relationship that you've had to discover along the way?
I think it's been a road trip. I mean, it's been different all the time because there's always been different hurdles and different, you know, traffic here and going off the street here and because this had a roadblock and I had to go this way. And so I've had very different sort of relationships with that sort of inner self, right? Some that were super supportive and some that were super very nervous and can I do this? But I think ultimately it's been a good place. I've always tried to be very in tune with myself and give myself, and I'll throw this back to you, give myself grace where I needed it, right? Also giving myself a shove when I also needed it. I've gotten better at that for sure, because I think I am I'm more in tune with myself now than I was even 10 years ago. Again, I think it has a lot to do with just my kids are a little bit older. I'm settled into motherhood now, even though I still get thrown new things all the time, depending on the ages and all that. But I'm much more settled and relaxed and feeling at ease with who I am. And again, maybe it's because I'm on the other side of life. I don't know. Like I say that and it sounds so old and I'm not meaning it that way, but 50 years is a long time, right? And those 50 years, there's massive gaps of huge changes. But right now, we're right in sort of that middle phase where I'm feeling pretty darn good. And I've always been taught, and this was my grandmother from day one, even when I was younger, and it wasn't always the case, but I definitely tried. I always tried to listen to my inner instincts, always. And I try to teach my kids that even at this age. I'm like, you might not feel as confident with that sort of inner voice, but please listen to it. Because we all have it, you know? And my grandmother taught me that at a very, very young age. And I lean on it more than anything now, more than anything.
Well, I'm glad that you leaned on your inner voice and your sense of knowing to put all of your love of cooking throughout your years into a wonderful cookbook. Here we go again. Congratulations. And it really is just so lovely to meet you today. I like to do a little cool down, like simple five questions with my guests before you leave. It's just kind of the first thing that pops into your mind. But we'll start with something that you like.
Ice bathing.
I know. I'd avoided it because I was just like, I saw the pictures and I was like, oh God, am I going to have to get a cold plunge?
I really have become extremely, I don't want to say the word obsessed, but definitely in love with ice bathing and plunging. Yes.
Okay. So how often do you do it and for how long? Like what's your minutes?
So I started with doing once a week. And I now have opted to a few times a week. So I'm trying to do anywhere from 4 to 5 times a week. And that truly is because I have an actual plunge now. And, you know, I know that's not the case for so many people. I was doing the old school ice, which I still do with the community of people that we've kind of created. But I'm at it 4 or 5 times. The benefits start at 3 minutes. So I always advise people to start if you can with 3 minutes. If you can't, even doing a minute and just getting used to it. It's like I kind of talk about it being kind of like childbirth. I'm gonna say it's not easy. It's a mental thing and a body thing. But if you get past the mental thing, your body will do it, and the benefits are endless. And I can get into that in a whole nother, you know, probably segment. But I'm in love and I'm obsessed. Yes.
Oh man, wait, were you unmedicated for your births? Did you do home births for you?
So I did natural for as long as I could, which was 30 hours with my daughter. So that's why I say it's kind of like that, but it's only 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It was 30 hours with my daughter. And then I had to sadly have an emergency C-section. And then my son, we had some emergency family things that were happening during that time. And then I went into labor and we went that direction
for a C-section as well. Yes. Yeah. Safety.
Not the way I wanted to. I wanted to try it again like I did with my daughter, but it just wasn't in the cards for me that day. So it is what it is. But
if you've been through those contractions where you just have to be like, oh, this will never end. And then it ends. And then you're like, whoa, what was that? That was weird. And then it comes back again.
So weird that you forget too. Cause I was literally like wanting to do it again with my son.
Oh yeah.
Like, no big deal, right?
Oh, yeah. No, and I was like, I'm never doing it again, ever. And then I have friends that are like going to have births or give birth soon. And I'm like, it's really not that bad. Like, I feel like it's a good challenge.
I know.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So next question, yes. Something that you know.
I know how to cook.
Yes, you do. Okay, something that you hate.
You said quick, so it's coming to my head.
I love it. Something that you hate.
Ooh, negative people.
Okay. Something that you love that's not your kids, your partner, family, just something that you love for you.
Love for me? Mm-hmm. I mean, did we not already say love with the ice baths? I'm going to go the other.
This is love.
Oh, that was like, this is love. I should say love for the ice bath then. And like would be charcuterie boards. Can I flip it?
Yep, that's fair. We can do this. We can do whatever you want. Okay, and last but not least, a quirky little fact about you. Don't we all love this question?
Or
like, what's the funniest thing that's ever happened? I know, I'm kidding.
I can't whistle
at all.
And my husband and my kids make fun of me.
Like, you've never been able to whistle?
I can't whistle.
That is interesting. That is right? That is a great quirky fact.
I mean, it's important
to know this. You know, it's good. It's good. You can't whistle, but you can cook. Tiffany Thiessen, thank you so much. Thank you. Congratulations.
Nice to meet you, even though over Zoom.
A Super Bloom podcast is hosted by me, Candace King, produced by Melissa DeMonts and Diamond Imprint Productions, edited by Diane Kang, post-production sound by Coco Lawrence, and advertising partnership with Acast.